Hi, I'm Jackie.
And I'm Sam.
And we live in Orlando, Florida,
the theme park capital of the world.
We each have our own YouTube channels, and in this podcast, we'll be sharing more about our lives, our travels, our theme park enthusiasm, what's going on in the world,
and more. And today, we're diving into episode 15 of
Expedition Enthused, a theme park podcast.
So, it is finally February.
Sam?
Yeah?
It's June.
Oh. Time flies, doesn't it?
It sure does. And speaking of flies, we've been on an epic cross-country road trip. We've gotten lots of announcements about what's coming this summer at the theme parks, Halloween Horror Nights 33. We just got back from Disney Cruise Line's brand new destination in the Bahamas. So, let's get into it.
So let's start with the obvious choice, the park or resort, I guess, that we've been to most recently, and that will be Universal Orlando Resort.
Okay, so we got off a cruise ship, which we'll talk about in a little bit, on Sunday morning. Was it Sunday or Monday? Yes, Sunday.
Sunday.
We went from Fort Lauderdale, drove back to Orlando, really quick shower and change, and headed straight to Universal because we had a preview of the brand new Epic Universe Preview Center.
For those that don't know, and I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this probably does, Epic Universe is coming, a brand new Universal theme park here in Orlando, scheduled to open next year. And just like they did when Islands of Adventure was about to open, they have created a preview experience, would you say?
It's where the Legacy store was, and it's a really, really big storefront. Yes, it's a preview center for Epic Universe that'll be opening in 2025. It's in the Grand tradition of preview centers, right? When new parks open, which is pretty rare.
Yeah. I mean, there's not many theme parks you can think of where you can buy merchandise like a year before the parks even open.
Yeah.
So that shows how like exciting this is.
Yeah. So what did you think of the preview center, Sam?
When you walk in, that model that they have constructed to show this new park is like incredible. It is absolutely massive.
It's true. So yeah, you walk in, let me set the stage for you. And there is a huge scale model of what Epic Universe will be. You start in the middle with Celestial Park and the entrance, the big portal that you walk through. Oh, by the way, you walk through a portal to get into the preview center, which is amazing.
We're going to be traveling portals galore.
Portals galore. And then it features the five worlds. So How to Train Your Dragon, Isle of Berk, Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Ministry of Magic, Dark Universe, and Super Nintendo World.
I got so excited to see you so excited to see the Dark Universe merchandise because it's right up front and center.
It is. And I bought both of the shirts that were on sale. I think that's all I bought, right?
Yeah, I do want that hoodie. It looks like something from, I don't know, 2001.
Yeah, the style is definitely like a vibe in and of itself, but I don't care. I need it all. I think a lot of y'all, from what I've seen in responses to like my YouTube videos and posts, are like us and have a lot of hype for Dark Universe because of our love for Universal Monsters. And the fact that they're kind of doing a retelling and bringing them into 2025, very exciting.
Did it make you more excited for the park?
For sure. Seeing the five portals for the worlds, like, how cool was that?
I want to say that, like, AR.
Oh, yes. I know where you're going with this.
Is like, I wasn't that hyped for AR stuff. I'd rather just look at physical stuff. But the AR on this model is actually really cool.
They did such a good job with it. I'm the same. We're both like, the lower tech usually is the better. And when we saw it, there was going to be an AR thing, we were like, I don't know what this is going to be like. But I feel like this was a really good use of it and done really well. So you download the app, you point your phone at the model, and it brings it to life. And I thought they did an awesome job on it.
I like the app because it's a separate app and there's no messing about. You don't have to sign up for anything.
I loved that. Yeah.
You just download the app. And
all it does is the AR, the augmented reality on the model. That's it. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't bloat your phone. You don't have to sign up, register, put in your email, nothing. I truly appreciate that. So whoever created that, kudos to you for keeping it easy for people.
And I think if you do go, and I highly recommend that you do download the app and do the AR stuff.
Yeah.
Is that you have to take your time with it because mm-hmm. when I first, I don't know about for you, but yeah. when we first looked at it, we thought, oh, that's cool. Like Donkey Kong is going past. Mm-hmm. But if you actually like hold it over the buildings, it takes a few seconds and they like open and show you what's inside and information. And I don't think unless like you stood there for a few minutes and tried it, that would happen. I thought that was the coolest part.
I definitely thought that was the coolest part. And it took a while for me to see that too, because yeah, like you said, you see like the rides moving and stuff, but you have to kind of hover over the building and then the outside of the building will fade away and you'll see what's inside of it moving around. And I thought that was so well done and it looked really good.
Yeah. And I think that, like, it's such a cool replacement for the Legacy Store, yeah, which we both love.
Yeah.
And to, it's like now...
It's like the past, yeah, and then the future.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that is funny.
We went there to look back, and yeah, now we're looking forward, huh, which is really cool.
It is.
But I definitely... It is not open yet, officially, and there is not a date for when it will open, but it will be this month.
Yeah, they told us June.
So, and I think it will be soon. So if you do, it's definitely worth...
They're doing team member previews right now, so it should be soon, I think. Yeah. But yeah, once it opens, definitely head into City Walk, visit the Epic Universe Preview Center, gear up with whatever merch you want, because we don't know if they're going to be shifting out merchandise. I kind of feel like they would. I don't know this, but like they might bring new stuff in, old stuff might go away. So that's why I wanted to grab that first batch of Dark Universe stuff.
I'm kind of hoping for some Celestial Park merchandise.
Me too. I think Celestial Park is so beautiful. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Universal have been busy.
Oh my gosh, there's so much happening.
Going backwards in time, the Tribute Store. Tribute Store just opened. I have not actually been out to see it yet. I will very soon.
Yeah, very soon.
But you have been, and it looks really cool.
It is really cool. They did like an 80s style mall with a video store, like a video rental store, and an arcade, and then a theater at the end, and it features big blockbusters, retro, really like the ending room with those big showstopper scenes, especially the Ghostbusters one. I thought they did a incredible job with the space that they have. And one thing I think I thought about later after I made the video is because this new Tribute Store location is in Hollywood, it could continue to be open into August before even overlap with the Halloween Horror Nights Tribute Store that we expect to open in August at the New York location.
That happened last year, right?
That happened last year, yeah. And I kind of forgot about that. And I thought about it after. And I was like, oh, yeah, this could stay open longer, potentially.
Some of the things inside this Tribute Store are going to be related to the new Universal Parade that is coming in July.
Yeah, so they're featuring big things like Ghostbusters and Back to the Future, E.T. and Jaws, and also Shrek in there. And it's going to tie in to the Universal Mega Movie Parade that is going to open on July 3rd, 2024. And also... Sensational, a symphonic spectacular. And this is the new nighttime show that is going to debut on June 14th. So in just a couple of days. And that's going to feature Harry Potter, Jurassic World, and Jaws. And the parade is going to feature E.T., Back to the Future, Jaws, Ghostbusters, Jurassic World, Minions, Sing, Trolls, and Kung Fu Panda. And I think the thing I'm most excited about for the parade is they said there's going to be a 16-foot Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
I mean, I think it's going to be big because they had to move Lou.
Yes, they moved Lou Wasserman, that statue, if you know, it was at the end of the New York street in front of the Starbucks, and he's been moved. So I think, yeah, you're right. They're like making space.
Before that, Shrek has a new home.
That's right. His swamp home has been created in physical form, and we went to see it at the brand new DreamWorks Land that is currently in soft opening and opens fully on June 14th. So again, in a couple of days.
There is a lot of new entertainment coming to Universal this summer.
Yeah, so much.
Are you excited to see if your favorite spot over in the corner of New York will be back in business?
I'm so curious to see if my little spot, those of you who are my old school peeps who have been watching my vlogs for years, you know that when we used to watch the former nighttime show, I had my little spot in New York to watch from far away, like the fireworks and stuff. So I'm curious if anything's going to be visible over there. We'll see. The drones, you know?
When you went in the Tribute Store, did you see Shrek?
There's only a small Shrek section in the Tribute Store.
You know why?
Why?
Because he lives in the swamp around the corner now.
He's busy. Why didn't I think of that? So DreamWorks Land, what's your favorite part of it?
I really enjoyed watching you do kung fu.
With Poe.
If you saw the video of Jackie doing kung fu, that was my favorite thing of the whole time.
It was pretty spectacular. I mean, I was like, look, I don't want to take your spot as the next Dragon Warrior, but I mean...
You had the moves.
The moves. I was like as graceful as a panda, I'd say.
My real answer is probably I really enjoyed the new show and I really enjoyed the Shrek popsicle.
Yeah. Yeah. Some really cool foods that we got to try and snacks. And the show was great. We really loved it. The puppets in there, the puppets of Donkey and the dragon. It was awesome.
I'm not really sure what I was expecting.
Yeah.
It wasn't really what I went in there thinking I was going to see.
No, me neither.
And it definitely exceeded my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And DreamWorks Land will be officially opening in just a couple of days on June 14th. But overall, I really like the new changes.
Me too. I think, you know, it's interesting because Universal Studios is the original Universal park here, right? It's the oldest of the parks. We both love it. Me and Sam love the feel of the park, the movie feel, the movie studio feel, even though, you know, there's a lot that we miss, like Jaws and things from the past. But we still love the vibe of just being there. And I think that keeping these special events there, as, you know, Islands of Adventure came along and is a newer park and it has the Hagrid's ride that's probably the most popular ride in the parks. And then now with Epic Universe coming, keeping these special experiences in the original park, I think it's so smart. What was that, thunder? We've been expecting a little bit of rain lately, but it's not enough. Orlando's very dry. But anyway, keeping these special things, all these new summer experiences, obviously Halloween Horror Nights, which we'll talk about in just a minute, in the original park, don't you think it's like a very smart idea for keeping it fresh?
Yeah, and I don't know. I find the park charming.
Me too.
A lot of people say like it's basic looking, but I love that movie theme that they go with. And I'm glad that they have at least like with the tribute store and the new movie parade, they're still like...
And the nighttime show. Yeah. And yeah.
They're still focusing on that. Forever is where like Hollywood Studios, where they've changed it to be like the movies.
It's just a mishmash, Hollywood Studios now. It feels very like a mess, that park. You're right. They're giving Universal Studios a lot of love. And I don't think it's basic looking at all if you pay attention. And I try to point these things out in my videos. Those little details that can be so easily overlooked. When you walk through New York or Hollywood, look in the shop windows. Look at the detail on the facades of the buildings. Like, it's, I think, stunningly beautiful and really well made.
I can see on first glance.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't, like, you gotta really look in there.
I love it. There's, like, a charm there for me that still makes it, like, one of my favorite parks anyway.
And we both have years of memories going there, too, so I think that helps.
And what also helps is it is home to Halloween Horror Nights.
Shall we shoot into that?
So Halloween Horror Nights is not very far away. 79 days till.
You just did some math.
Ignore the typing. I definitely just calculated
clicky, clicky,
it.
Click.
79 days till the opening night.
August 30th.
But opening night is not the first Halloween Horror Nights we can experience this year.
That's right. We have an anomaly this year. A very interesting way they're going about this, right?
So on August 11th, one day after my birthday, Halloween Horror Nights is starting the Unmasking the Horror Tour. And Unmasking the Horror, for those who have not been on it, is a daytime tour where you get to go through the houses in the day without any of like the show lighting or scare actors, and you get to see the houses and walk through them. They tell you information.
Like background info and Easter eggs and details about them building it. Little things that you can't see at night in the dark going through.
And this normally starts one day after Horror Nights launches each year. But this year, they've decided that the three house, because they also do a six house tour, is going to start before the event, over two weeks before, on August 11th, which is a little strange.
Very strange. Like, normally, you would, you know, we always do these, we love them, but you would do the daytime Unmasking the Horror Tour after the event had started, like you've already gone through at night. But now it's going to be so weird to walk through during the day and get info about a house we haven't run through at night during the event.
I have mixed feelings on it. I always like to do the tour like at the end of the event. Of course, I'm going to do it as soon as it's out.
Don't get us wrong. We have to do it. We're huge HHN fans.
I don't know. It's going to be really weird to go through them and see them not like show ready before you go in there. But I can also see the other side of this, that if you are someone who is unsure, like, to be scared of Horror Nights.
Right, if you're like, I don't know if I want to go, like, it might be too scary.
This is a great way, like, to go and see the houses and maybe, like, it's less scary when you go in if you've already seen them in the day. And it definitely is.
It is. So that's right. Like you said, like that's a pro and a con. Like if you want to be scared, you know, another thing I think that'll be cool is when we go on the actual opening night, we'll have knowledge and info and we'll know what to look at in the houses that we wouldn't have known if we hadn't done the tour. So in a way, it like preps you and you're ready. You're like, oh, I saw they told me that little bat is named Batty McBatterson because that's the name of the person who built him or whatever, you know, little bits of info that you wouldn't otherwise have.
Some people are against this early opening of, well, seeing the houses. But for me, any earlier Horror Nights, I mean, I'll be there.
We're in.
And speaking of opening night and early Horror Nights.
Yeah. So this is another interesting thing. This is the first time they're ever doing this, and they're calling it a premium Scream Night on August 29th, the night before opening. And it says, everything you love about Halloween Horror Nights, but with limited capacity, shorter wait times, haunted house entry staggered by group, select all you care to enjoy food, and more.
Each year, normally a few days before opening night, they do a team member preview. So this is kind of between the two. And once I saw staggered entry, I'm in.
So do you remember, Sam, that one time, it was a year that Us was there. So like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, we were there one night on a very uncrowded night for some reason. And they were doing this. They were like batching you, just you and your party to go in. And it was just me and you.
It was actually
the scariest Halloween Horror Nights experience I have ever. We were both terrified.
Yeah.
Alone, just us.
That is like such a cool memory of Horror Nights.
Me too.
Just me and you by ourselves in that Us house.
I was like, my heart was pounding. Like, we don't normally get scared per se. We get, like, I do get the jump scares and I get startled, but we're there because we've been doing it for so long. We kind of like have fun and laugh and we're looking at the sets, we're looking at the costumes. It's a scary atmosphere and we love that feeling, but I was pretty scared in the Exorcist house last year, though. I'm not saying I never get scared, but like that was the scariest.
I just thought of this right now. I think that also is why I'm excited about doing the unmasking tour, because the houses for me each year, it's not about being scared.
Mm-hmm.
It's like about the sets and the scare actor costumes and things. So it's more than just being scared. And I don't think that will be taken away from seeing them in the day.
Yeah.
But that time we went through by ourselves.
That was the best.
So once I saw it had staggered entry for houses, which they used to do back, I don't know, 20 years ago,
yeah,
before it got too popular. And it's just not possible.
It's not possible because of the sheer amount of guests that are there every night. If you've ever been to Halloween Horror Nights, especially in the past like 5-10 years, it's an insanely popular event. And even with them limiting tickets, there's just a lot of people that want to do the houses. And if they try to do this, it just wouldn't be possible. They just can't.
A lot of people purchase opening night tickets because they want to go right away, right? It's your favorite thing. And you want to buy express. And if you buy those two things together, you're looking at maybe like $100 on top of that. And that for staggered houses plus included food and drink, like Taste of Terror last year.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do it for the staggered entry and alone.
It's hard to emphasize how much of a different experience it is going through these houses with just you and your party. So let's say there's just two of you, like for me and Sam. It'll just be us alone. Well, there's five of you. It's just you five alone. Like there's no one behind you. There's no one in front of you. Only the ghosties and ghoulies. There is nothing like it. It's a completely different experience. So if you're a mega fan of these events or want to do it in a different way with the food and drinks, like we did the Taste of Terror last year and it was really neat. Like we enjoyed it. We had fun. We actually went twice.
Yeah.
But this is like that. Times a million.
Yeah, and it's every
with
house,
the event,
every scare
for
zone,
the full night,
the show, and the normal opening hours, which is
that's crazy,
crazy. And like, obviously, I wish they could do staggered houses every night of the event.
That'd be amazing.
It used to be like that, but like, yeah, it's just not possible. And most haunts reuse houses each year,
right?
And that's completely fine.
Sure,
but they build 10 brand new houses each
completely
year,
completely from scratch every year,
and that is not cheap.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So this event is pricey. You can't get a pass holder discount if you call to order. But like Sam said, like if you look at a premium Saturday night with Express in the middle of the event on like a hot night, it's close to the same.
Yeah.
So this is like Express times a million. I don't know.
I'm definitely
hyped. We're excited.
And we will obviously be going.
Yeah, and I will be sharing it with you because I'm very curious to see what it's going to be like, and I'm sure y'all are too. So stay tuned because we'll share what it was like.
Yeah, like I said about the unmasking the tour, the earlier the horror starts, the better.
Really, like we're definitely like Halloween year-round fans. We like anything like that year-round. So, you know.
And it is now June, not February.
It's June.
And we have many, many houses announced already. Seven, I think.
Yes, seven.
This year, for one of the first times in, I mean, that I can remember, they started and they went hard on these original houses for the year. And each one, I'm really excited for every single one. So do you want to go through them?
Sure. Do you want to, like, I'll read one, you read one?
Sure.
We'll do, like, in class.
Sure.
Okay. So the first house they announced was Slaughter Cinema 2. This is a sequel house. They first did Slaughter Cinema in, what, 2018?
Yes.
And it's a house that's like a movie theater. You go in and it's based in Cary, Ohio. And those of you who remember our 2022 theme park road trip, we actually went to the real Cary, Ohio just to like take a picture with the sign we were going to Cedar Point. It's a fictional theater and you go through and you'll like see the poster for the movie to come and then you'll walk through it. And obviously they're all scary. So it's going to be all original movies that we'll walk through this year.
It's kind of like a B movie, so it's like combination of like silly horror and comedy. So I'm excited to see the new ones and if they bring like any sequels back from the one before. This is where the Swamp Yeti and the Yukon
All the Yetis.
This is where all the Yetis come from. You know, if you go to Halloween Horror Nights and a lot, sometimes they blur into one. Yeah. But this is the originator for the Yeti houses, which became favorites. And then there is obviously some great ones inside.
And they already said one of the movies, right?
Yeah, Heavy Metal How 3D, which sounds cool.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder if there's going to be like 3D elements to this house. They haven't done that for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for this one. I think the next one, though, is one you're really excited for.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Goblin's Feast. Ooh. This one, I just love it.
All original concept, fairy tale creatures, goblins, orcs, hobgoblins, witches. Like, I love all things, you know, creepy, scary, classic that come from like myth and folk tales and fairy tales and nursery rhymes, like cackling witches and goblins and things. This is the vibe.
Done some houses kind of fantasy, like Jewel and Dragons last year, The Witches, Wicked Grove,
Wicked Grove.
Yeah. But I'm really excited like to see goblins everything.
Us. Yeah, us. We're going to go to the Goblin's Feast.
You sounded so happy that they were going to be eating
us. All right, so then the third announcement was Major Sweets Candy Factory, and this is another sort of sequels. So we first saw this as a scare zone in 2022 called Sweet's Revenge or Sweet Revenge. And we're seeing the same characters come back and the logo has the same main character who owned the candy factory. And there's a whole backstory why he wanted to poison the children. But on his top hat, there's a little boo.
Little boo's back.
Little boo's back every year? Like, what is this? He's the Earl the Squirrel of HHN now.
He is, yeah.
But that's cool. So we're going to go into the candy factory and...
Like a sweet factory is such a cool location for a house and they can do a lot with that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there'll be like smells and
candy. Yeah, I can already smell the candy corn.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a really cool one and very cool to look at.
And fun.
The next house is the Museum Deadly Exhibits. I kind of like this, like Night at the Museum, but scary. I'm thinking, my mind goes to like natural history museum.
And like mummy vibes.
Yeah, like T-Rex.
Yeah. It says guests will enter a museum to see the new folklore exhibit, the Rotting Stone, but from within the stone, an evil escapes causing destruction.
So yeah, I think this one could be a sleeper hit with some of the, could be like a mix, like mummies and dinosaurs, or if there's dinosaurs in there, and I think this, probably not.
But if so.
If so.
Listen.
That'd be awesome.
The fifth announcement was Monstros, the Monsters of Latin America. And this one says, with the Muerte as your guide, you'll be begging for piedad from these three terrifying legends.
So this was a house that was actually already in Hollywood, and they are bringing it to Orlando. And people love this house in Hollywood. We never went through it, but a lot of people loved their version. So it'd be really cool to see what our version is. Well, for the first time, I guess, for us.
This is like folklore, urban legends, tales from the beyond. So yeah, very excited. It was a popular house at Hollywood, so yeah, excited we're getting it.
And the final and sixth original house is called Triplets of Terror.
And this one just sounds like a classic slasher house, right? Mm.
I think they said like this is an original slasher house rather than being like set on like Freddy or Jason or Halloween. They're making their own version of it. It's set in a... Does it say where it's set?
It's Barmy Triplets' birthday bash. But beware, they celebrate by recreating their family's murders. Prepare for a gory gathering. Ooh!
For some reason, I think of like Chuck E. Cheese or like Five Nights at Freddy's like birthday celebration.
Interesting. I wonder.
I don't know what the...
I didn't get that impression, but I could see that.
That would be cool. I'd like that.
Yeah, it looks scary.
And then finally, they did announce one IP a house while we were away on the cruise, and that is A Quiet Place. They are movies that neither of us have seen yet.
We haven't seen Quiet Place yet, but we are going to watch it, obviously, of course.
We will. We have to do our Halloween Horror Nights homework.
That's right.
And I think this is covering the first and second movie. There is a third movie coming out. That's a prequel.
We better get on it.
But we, yeah.
I have a feeling I'm going to like it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
We'll see. Either way, we'll watch so that we are prepared.
The premise of this movie, I know, is that if you make sound, these monsters can hunt you.
Right. It's like a post-apocalyptic world where these, like, I think they're alien monsters have taken over, but they can only hear.
Yeah. Which will be really interesting to see how they translate to a house, because Halloween Horror Nights houses are loud.
They are so loud. How is this going to... You remember that part of the Us house, going back to that, that was kind of quiet, though, with just the music?
Yes.
That was the eeriest part.
I don't know if you remember in Graveyard Games, there was like a black tunnel you went through.
Yes, that was scary.
And it was like eerie quiet.
So like depriving the senses can actually be more scary and more eerie than like a lot of loud noise. So it's very interesting concept. Yes.
So this one I think is going to be cool. And then we still have, what, three more to be announced, so they must be coming soon.
Exciting!
I think we will obviously talk more about Halloween Horror Nights in the future, but I'm excited for this year.
Me too, already for this year. The original houses can sometimes be favorites, especially like fan favorites, and all of these are great concepts and great stories. And like we said, we love to walk through the themed environment, walk through the story and exist in that world. And that's my favorite part. So I'm ready to go to the Goblin Feast.
You're ready to walk through with the Triplets of Terror?
No. That I think that's my like bottom tier.
Yeah.
I think Goblin's Feast I'm most excited for, Slaughter Cinema 2, Major Suites, The Museum, Monstros, they're all kind of up there together-ish. I think Goblin's at the top and the rest are like in the middle. And then
I think once you read Gore in the description.
That's my least favorite. I know that's always going to be there in part of the houses, but I like more scary, classic Halloween, spooky ghosts, goblins, other types of things. Like, I love the mythological creatures, the Yetis, the monsters of Latin America, the original stories, all of that.
I think some people are a little like, Quiet Place. But as you go to Halloween Horror Nights a lot, you can learn that good movies can make bad houses and bad movies can make great houses. So
You
never know what you're going to get.
Just like Waterworld makes a great theme park attraction.
It really does.
Who would have thought?
And speaking of Waterworld.
Where are we going with speaking of Waterworld?
We saw it on our mega road trip.
That's right. Good segue, Sam.
And we finally saw the plane.
Oh, the plane, the seaplane. Finally.
It would take hours for us to sit here and talk through our cross-country road trip that we took in April. To go through every stop.
Oh my gosh, it would take hours.
Explain everything that happened.
Just go watch the videos, please. Go watch the vlogs, because I'm really proud of them. They're really like real, authentic in the moment. We drove across the country. Should we just really quick go through what we did? So we went from Orlando to Destin, Florida. Then we went to Baton Rouge. Then we went to Grapevine, Texas to see the solar eclipse totality. We went to Roswell, New Mexico, saw all the weird alien stuff. We went to Santa Fe and Albuquerque, saw the original Meow Wolf and a bunch of stuff there. We went to a bunch of Route 66 and iconic stops, movie locations, the inspiration for the Cozy Cone Motel, the meteor crater from Starman, the Here It Is sign, all this stuff. We went to Sedona, Arizona, which I had always wanted to go and totally lived up, right?
The Vortex.
The Vortex is amazing. We went and saw Bedrock City, the Flintstones town. That was just so weird and interesting. We went to Vegas. We love Vegas. We went to see some Fallout New Vegas locations, Desperado, Buffalo Bills, like Peggy Sue's Diner, Universal Studios Hollywood, Disneyland, DCA, and that wraps it up. We did also go to the Grand Canyon, and you can find that on my blog. But the rest of it is all up on YouTube.
Yeah, when you put it like that, it does sound like a lot, and to go through all of them would take forever. But I think we could talk about a few of our favorites. How was driving across country?
I mean, it was actually amazing. Like, it's crazy how much of the USA is abandoned, deserted, empty, or just farmland. Like, how much is uninhabited is mind-blowing. And being on the ground, you see the country in a very different way than you see it from an airplane or just flying somewhere, landing, doing stuff, and going back, which is awesome, too. But it's just very different. It's an experience where you, I think, are more in touch with, like, America or whatever country you're road tripping in. And the people and the lives, and I don't know, like, we saw some stunning sights that, like you said, it would take forever to go over, but like windmills and hills and mountains and rocks and
giant solar farms and giant windmill farms and
abandoned towns and knocked over buildings that look like Twister, like the aftermath of a Twister had just come through.
For me, it was like going like into a movie, because I obviously grew up in England. You drive that far in England, you're in the sea.
Right.
But here, it was just so cool to see so many different places in, I mean, admittedly, a very short time. Like, we would have liked to have taken longer, but it was just not possible. We were driving each day, going to the place for a day, editing the videos in the evening.
Yeah, we had to hustle. It was 20 days, and we had to hustle to get across the country. We would have loved to do it for months, but, you know, it's expensive to do this. We planned and saved for a long time. It is not cheap. And it was a big kind of like, oh, something we've always wanted to do, dream come true type of thing. So, you know, I hope we'll do more in the future, but like, this was definitely
a big one.
One for the books.
And then off the top of your head, what were your four favorite? Well, not, let's not say favorite.
Let's say three.
Everything was good in its own way.
Yeah, everything was amazing.
And it's funny, like, at least five people have said to us afterwards, like, how did you not get annoyed at each other in a car for that long together? And for that long together, we did not get annoyed
not
at each
once,
other.
Not interestingly. Once, interestingly. Yeah, we actually laughed a lot. We did lose our marbles.
We may have created many original songs, which should never be heard
will
by anyone.
Never be heard. Those are not in the vlogs. We sang ridiculous songs that we made up in the moment. We laughed a lot. Like, and we were both just like, wow, we were in awe. We definitely lost our marbles a few times, but not in a like annoyed way, in a like hilarious, laughing like a crazy person way. Maniacal laughing. Some days we were like, oh my God, the road just won't stop.
Yeah. Or sometimes we were driving along like doing, I don't know, silly songs and looking out the window, and there'd be like a guy looking at you like, what the hell are you doing? But it was definitely a fun experience.
Yeah. Do like top three, right, most memorable.
Top three most memorable.
You go first.
All right, number one, that's really hard.
Okay, I'll go first. The eclipse.
The eclipse.
Seeing totality, seeing the eclipse, absolutely amazing, top tier. So glad we did that. Two, I would say the day driving through the desert, like going to see that saloon and going to see the empty, giant empty casinos.
Desperado. Like,
that was crazy.
We were talking to the bartender in Buffalo Bills, where Desperado Roller Coaster is, and she had some stories.
Sedona. Because I had always wanted to go there, and those views and the red rocks and the vortexes.
That's free.
I know, because I wanted to add Vegas on too.
So if you said three.
Well,
that's why I said four.
Okay, four and Vegas, baby. We love Vegas.
Mine, the eclipse was amazing.
Yeah.
We did more in Dallas than was in the videos. We actually
went that's right.
to the stockyards, and we took a vintage train to the stockyards.
That was an amazing day. Yeah.
That was a good day. The eclipse, though, gave me goose pimples, or as you Americans
say, goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
Ew, weird. I guess just one of those American British different ways of saying something.
I just love to say it because I know you don't like it.
Goosebumps, like shivers. Like
eclipse has to be up there. And that probably was, that was why we did this trip at this time.
Right. It was all planned around being in Texas for totality of the great solar eclipse.
I think Desperado Day in the desert, that was really fun. I love that. I think Vegas, I love Vegas.
Yeah.
And it's not for the reasons people think you would love Vegas.
Yeah, we've said this before. Like, we never thought we would like Vegas. We did not think we'd be Vegas kind of people. But it's not what you think. It's what you make of it. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with any of those other things or however you want to enjoy it. I only gambled once ever for my first time on this past trip. And it was actually pretty fun. Big money. I won like $5 or something. But it's like all the attractions. It feels like a giant theme park for adults. It's like the theming, the sheer magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Roswell, I am glad
was weird
that we went.
Yes.
I would not in any form at all try and go back again.
No. Unless there was some special event or some reason.
There are about 4 tourist attractions in Roswell.
Yeah.
We did all of them.
Yeah.
They were
weird. Like, it was interesting and cool to be there. But I think after like a day or two of processing, we were both like, I don't ever want to go back there. And that was so weird. Like, you should do it. I feel like it's one of those things it's an Americana classic thing, especially if you're interested or curious about, you know, extraterrestrials and stuff like that. But it was so weird. I don't know. We had fun.
But if
those 4 attractions closed, there'd be nothing of the alien stuff. Everything's anchored around those 4 weird things.
Let's say if the UFO museum came to life that we went to, like a Horror Nights house, it would just be signs walking around inside.
It was a lot of signs.
It was not great.
It wasn't great. It was very weird. But, you know, whatever.
You know, it's glad an iconic place.
It's nothing like what people make it seem.
Yeah.
I think I showed it exactly as it was.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
It's weird.
It's a little rundown.
There's
some cool, nice stuff, but...
That everyone there was really nice.
Yes.
And they were like, this is weird.
It was very friendly and pleasant, and they acknowledged that it's weird. And I just expected more.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be, like, way more alien stuff, but there's just not that much. And there was one thing we did that I didn't even include in the video because it was so...
Boring.
Not good. It was literally nothing, and we paid to do it, and we were like, can I have my money back? We didn't ask for our money back, but in my head, I was like, I would love my money back because that was rubbish. We won't even name it because it's, like, a small business and whatever, but it wasn't in the video, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Everything we included in the video, we were like, even though it was weird, I'm glad I did it.
The photo ops were my favorite part.
Yeah, that was bizarre. Bless them. Everyone was real nice and cool, though, so whatever.
And then we did actually do the 60th anniversary tour at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
It was.
We ended. By that point, we were a little like...
We were tired.
Tired, yeah.
We were a little like, oh, can I go home now?
And then we flew home, which was... We did not drive back. We did contemplate while we were driving out to California about maybe halfway in.
Do we extend the car rental? Do we drive back? Do we fly? Like,
yeah.
I'm so glad we flew back.
I'm so glad we flew
back. I didn't want to do another 10 or 20 days of driving.
We were really high on attractions about halfway through. Like, we want to see everything.
Yeah. Then we were like out of clean clothes. I didn't want to do laundry on the road, which you can. There's nothing wrong with that, but... I don't know.
Grand Canyon was cool. And Meteor Crater.
Grand Canyon was amazing. Meteor Crater, like...
Flintstones?
So interesting.
So that was another, like, I'm glad I've seen it.
Yeah. Bizarre.
Bizarre.
Like, how does that still exist?
It doesn't, really.
But yeah, if, like I said, all the vlogs are up. I think there's 11 videos of our 20-day cross-country road trip. And every single one I'm happy with and proud of and just captures... the real experience of going across this country. Like,
I think like if anyone listening has like any specific questions about our time on the road, I'd love to like answer them maybe like next time sometime. Mm-hmm. So remember, you can email us at expeditionenthused@gmail.com. And that's probably the best way to send in and ask a question about a road trip. Pretty much anything, really.
Yeah, anything. Okay, so we've talked about Universal and all that's going on. We've talked about the road trip a bit. And now let's talk about Disney, because there's a lot happening there, too.
Really seems like we've done a lot since the last podcast just a month ago in January. Well.
Time flies. Okay, so let's go backwards. We just got off the other day a cruise aboard the Disney Magic, Disney Cruise Line's original ship. I feel like I've said that sentence so many times.
You sound like you're like... That's its name now.
Yeah, the Disney Cruise Line's original ship, the first ever ship, the one that started it all.
That debuted in 1998.
Debuted in 1998. We just got off, and that was our first time aboard the Disney Magic, and the reason we went...
This was the preview cruise of Disney's new private destination in the Bahamas. Lookout Key at Lookout Point.
Nope.
Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point. You have to say the whole name correctly.
I was saying earlier, like, let's all collectively decide what's going to be the nickname. Is it Lookout Key or Lighthouse Point? Because I'm very tired of saying Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point.
I'm going to go for Lookout Key because okay. It matches Castaway.
Perfect. Key. So we got Castaway Key and Lookout Key. Bam.
Yeah, but at Lighthouse Point.
No!
It's really hard just to say the name and not say the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's too long.
It's too long. But anyway, we went on this sailing. It was a preview sailing that was, you know, first sail for anyone to book. And we booked it and got ourselves a nice veranda room and had an amazing cruise. But the main thing here.
We've been on the Dream, out of the Dream of Fantasy. And we've been on the Wish, out of the Wish, the Treasure, which isn't out yet. Obviously, the Adventure actually now. Never mind. But this preview cruise, the magic is cool, by the way.
Yeah.
But let's talk more about the island, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point.
It's on the island of Eleuthera in the Bahamas. So unlike Castaway Key, which is a fully private island for Disney Cruise Line, this is a section of the larger island of Eleuthera. And yes, it is a private section, destination, whatever, but they also work something out with the Bahamian government where local Bahamians can get a day pass to attend so that it was partly open to the community and also that they would provide some jobs to the local community and things like that.
They cannot use any of the children's areas or activities. It's only like the beach. I think the food, but I'm not sure on that one.
I'm not either.
So this island also has other cruise lines there.
Right.
And for those, the other cruise line, which I believe is Princess,
yeah.
They have to tender from the ship to the island because they do not have a pier.
So they have to get on a separate vessel, like a separate little boat, taking them from the ship to the island.
Disney went for a different approach and they built a half mile pier from the ship to get to the island. And then you can take a tram. And there has been a lot of...
a lot of interesting opinions on this half-mile walkway, pier, bridge. Well, it's not a bridge, but the walkway from the boat. I mean, I would rather walk than have to get on another little boat and tender to the island. But not everyone can or is able to. So we did see golf carts, and it does look like they will be able to offer assistance to those who have difficulty. But also, like... children with small families. I mean, families with small children. I said children with small families.
I mean, I'm sure that exists too.
Families with small children and like people who maybe there's not a major issue, but it's still really difficult to make that kind of a walk. It's an interesting thing.
They didn't put any shade, which doesn't help because it wasn't so bad walking out. But when you're like covered in sand and your shoes are rubbing like yours were, it does feel like quite a walk, and it does distract you a bit because the views are beautiful. The water underneath you, the ship in the background. I don't know whether they're going to make like adjustments to this as we go on, and I'm sure they're getting a lot of feedback about this because other people on our cruise, that was like a topic of conversation.
It was a huge topic. I see a lot of people saying, what's the big deal? Why are people allergic to walking? Like, it's just a half a mile. It's a 10-15 minute walk, which sure, if you have no problems walking and you're in good health and everything's fine, sure. But, you know, not everybody is. So you have to keep that in account that like everyone is in a different place and that walk may not be so easy for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Overall, I'm sure that they are getting a lot of feedback about the walk. And then once you did do the walk, you got on the tram. And the tram was surprisingly long, too.
It was so long. So it took about a half an hour from the ship to actually getting to, like, the beach area.
And that was with the tram waiting there. We were, like, in the first group of people.
If we would have had to wait for another tram.
Yeah, probably, like, 45.
Tack a few more minutes on. Yeah, so interesting.
And then the island itself. I keep going on it. It's really hard.
We're just going to call it an island because it's too hard to say like destination or part of an island, like the island, but the section of the island.
It is still an island. It so is. It counts. But the island itself is beautiful. The water and the beach is beautiful.
They said there was pink sand and it looked white to me. But when I was looking back at my video, I was like, I get where they're going with the pink. Like it does have a pink hue to it. But in the moment, like with our polarized sunglasses and stuff, it looked fluffy white. Obviously, if you saw my video, you saw that the water looks like a pool.
Yeah.
It's the clearest water I've ever seen. Neon blue, sparkling clear like diamonds, nuts.
And Disney have taken a different approach to when getting Cast Away. Back in the 90s, I don't think they cared as much, or I don't think anybody cared as much about keeping the environment intact and not disturbing stuff. And that is why the pier is so long. And that is why most of the walkways on the actual island are boardwalk kind of above the ground. And obviously there are pros and cons to that. There are, the beach has not been changed. So I think they need more chairs on the actual beach.
Yes, there were not enough beach chairs. There were definitely not enough chairs in the dining area either.
No.
People were asking to like share, can I sit with you? Because there was not enough space for our small ship.
Yeah. So
and that's a small ship.
I imagine on the bigger ship.
Yeah, there's not enough room. Like they definitely need more seating.
Mm-hmm. And then signposts.
No signposts at all. We were asked, like, where do we go? Where's the building with the this and with the that and the cultural center? And there were, like, no signs. So please, I don't, no one's listening. But if you're listening, add some signs.
I'm sure these are things because, like we said, it is a preview cruise.
Yeah.
Or more will come and they'll make adjustments and tweak like they do with most things.
Of course. If you look at the first day of Disneyland, of anything, like, there's a lot of stuff that gets adjusted.
Disney have really gone all in on kind of respecting the bohemian culture, I would say. And I think this ties into something we did on the ship. We got to listen to the designer of the characters' costumes on the island.
Yeah, Theodore Elliott talked to us about, they said, it's not costumes, it's looks.
Oh, yeah.
The character looks. So they are based on the Junkanoo tradition, bohemian colors, designs, and fashions. Even like the pineapples and the colors on Mickey's outfit represent the golden pineapples that Eleuthera is famous for. So there's a lot of little details in there that are tied into the island and the culture. And it was really interesting to hear that. I wish we would have heard that presentation the day before we went to the island, because I would have been able to share a lot of that was like had never been shared before or was hard to find information. But we did learn it after, and it added a lot to understanding what they're doing and why they're doing it that way. Like the Junkanoo performance and the outfits, the looks.
For me, sitting there, like, it came across, this guy is so passionate about his work and the island.
Yeah.
That it made me appreciate those costumes that you might just take like, or looks, that you might just take like a glance at and like take a picture with.
Right.
And I think they have not done a good job of that coming across.
Yeah, I agree with you. They haven't done a good job of really promoting the meaning of the designs and colors of the costumes and how much history is in there and what it all means and where it comes. Like, they keep saying Junkanoo, but they don't really go into what it means enough, I think.
And even the shows on the island, they're trying to embrace that culture.
Yeah.
But
they didn't come out and explain anything.
Anything.
Like, this is the Bahamian tradition of Junkanoo, the party, the da-da-da. Like, they didn't. They just started it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a little intro, talking a little bit about it before the show would help so much.
Yeah, and I think it would really make it feel like you're embracing that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Before we talk about one more thing from the island, I just want to say that there are a lot of people saying the island is a disaster. There have been so many comments about how it's like the fire festival.
Yeah. I'm like, bit dramatic.
Yeah, bit
it
dramatic.
It's nothing like that. I don't know where. I think like one person said that and like everyone's just jumping on saying that. Like, that's a bit of a stretch.
And the
it's
island.
Nothing like that.
There's definitely room to improve this island or destination. But if you are going there, there is definitely,
like, it's fine. You're going to have a great time. Yeah. It looks new. Like I even said in the video, it looks like they planted these plants yesterday. The vegetation will grow and fill in, but it's still nice and fun. Like, it's not a quote unquote disaster.
Yeah.
It's like, just there's room for improvement.
The worst place you could ever get off.
Like, come on. Real.
If that's the worst place you could ever get off, they've never been to Swindon. Imagine a cruise ship turned up in Swindon.
Oh my gosh. Like, and even with the flies, like, that's probably construction.
Well,
the
that was what I was going to talk about next.
That was definitely the worst part. Probably like the first time they've cooked for that many guests on the island. Like, I grew up in Florida. Like, we had barbecues in Key Biscayne and on the beach and stuff. There was always a few flies around, but never has the food been the way it was. That was the worst part.
That for me was the worst part of the whole island. And that was such a small part of our day.
Honestly, it was such a small part.
Apart from the next morning where the flies followed us back.
Yeah, we were fine.
We were fine. And I feel like this is another thing that Disney will fix. That, like, it might take a little time.
Yeah.
But
I feel like it'll somehow get sorted out. Like, they're not going to leave it that way. Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. Because it's definitely...
It's very easy to focus on the negatives from something new and compare it to what have come before than to take it and look forward. It can be changed and fixed.
Have some vision and think about, like, what's this going to look like in 5 years and 10 years? Mm-hmm. That's kind of how we're thinking. And, you know, we try to take things with a fair and balanced approach. You look at the pros, the cons, the good, the bad. There's always all of that. It's life. But it didn't detract from our trip, our vacation, or our visit. We had an amazing time. Mm-hmm. We had, especially when I got in the water, honestly, that was my favorite.
Yeah, I think the water was nicer than Castaway.
The water's way nicer than Castaway. Castaway is like a normal beach, right? Like, there's seaweed, there's yucky stuff. That's the ocean. It just happens. That's the beach. But this was like a movie beach. It was like I grew up in Miami going to beautiful blue beaches, but this was beyond that. This was...
I grew up in England going to Western Supermare beaches. And
so...
This was like... A different world.
It looked unreal. I was like, how is this? And going back to what you're saying about how the reason there's a pier is so that they wouldn't do all that dredging. You know, a lot of smaller islands and places have started to say, like, we don't want cruise lines to come here because they dredge, they tear up the environment. They're actually really, can be really bad for environments. And like Key West has made it so only smaller ships can go there. And there's been changes made. So I can really appreciate what they're doing so that we still can go there doing the least amount of damage possible. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I think Disney don't get enough credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
When you just focus on this is a long walk or there's flies here.
Agree.
And this is like day one. Sure, would I prefer no flies in my food?
I'd love no flies.
But on that day, it was
only took a few bites of the food because we were like, ooh.
It was a bit fly.
We just had some like... food on back on the ship.
I felt bad for the cast members.
Yeah.
Because for them too, it was their first day and they were having to deal with that.
In their own lunch area too. Like, oh, and they worked so hard to...
Yeah. But I think that pretty much wraps up our trip to Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point.
Yeah, Lighthouse Point. It was great. And I think there's a lot of potential for the future. We both still, I think, would pick Castaway Key over that if we had a choice of the two.
I do see this island having potential to become...
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. If you send me back, I'll go back. I'll go back and I will just stay in the water the whole day.
If someone says, you can either go to Lookout Key with the flies or not go at all, I'll still go.
I'll still take it with the flies.
I'll take it with the flies.
Listen.
I prefer without.
Sure.
But I'll take it with the flies.
You gotta... Sometimes you gotta take the flies with the... Whatever. Anyway, next...
Next, anyway.
And we also had a great time on the magic. Watch the videos.
Watch the videos.
Just
the videos.
Watch the videos.
Really show everything we did that
day.
They
really bring it home.
A few people have asked me when my next videos come in.
And yeah. When's the next Expedition theme park coming out?
It is coming. If you've seen my Holy Land video and enjoyed that video, I'm pretty sure you'll like this next one. It's not an easy topic, but it is coming and it will be coming soon.
And I'm very curious about your, like, how you're going to approach it and cover it. I know you've been, this has been percolating for a long time.
Yeah, this has been something I've been wanting to make for, I don't know, a couple of years now. And I've struggled with how to do it because I want to tell everything, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to tell you the story from day one to close of anyone who has ever existed in it.
Yeah.
So it's been definitely a journey to try and tighten that down. But yeah, there is a new Expedition Extinct coming.
Good.
I have lots of ideas too. More will be coming.
Yeah.
This is the first podcast. I mean, it was only last month in January we did the last one. There is a few things, finally, news that I just want to really quickly mention.
Really quick. Let's do a news roundup.
Top Thrill Dragster 2 opened.
Closed.
And closed. And still remains closed while it's being fixed. So there's not really much more to say.
Yeah.
And Hyperia opened.
Closed.
And closed. And has now reopened.
Reopened. Yay.
So a few people have asked about plans of if we're going to go over and ride Hyperia. And the answer is yes.
Yes.
And we have finally sorted out when that will be.
Yay.
So we'll just say that for now.
It's happening. It's happening.
Is there anything you want to add? Any news?
So for Disney, I also want to say that Tiana's Bayou Adventure is now in beginning passholder previews in a couple days. We have not ridden it yet, but we hope to soon. And as soon as we do, then I'll be able to talk about it. But I did go out to see it the first night that they lit it up and it looked spectacular. So I'm very excited to ride that. I know that like Epcot Communicore Hall's opened. Haven't been out to see that either because that happened while we were on the cruise, but hope to see that soon and share that with you. So stay tuned for that.
Test track is closing.
We'll go out and ride it one more time before it closes forever very, very soon. I'll be sharing that with you on YouTube, so stay tuned for that too.
This was a big episode because obviously it hasn't really only been 1 month and there was a lot to talk about.
Yeah. You know, the podcast is a side hobby for us. Obviously, our main thing is our YouTube channels. And I work on my YouTube channel nonstop. Like, I am making videos, not every day, but like several a week, constantly making and editing videos. And on the days we're not, we hang out, we go to the park, we do normal life stuff. Sam is working on his videos in the background kind of constantly too, like researching, pulling up archives. He does deep dives that take a long time. So the podcast is for fun and...
It has been longer than I hope it will be for the next
hopefully
one.
It won't be. So,
let's say hopefully it won't be January next year, and then I can make the joke again about how it's January, and that might be funny actually.
You'll say, "Hey, it's July," and I'll say, "Sam, it's January." No. We'll try not to do that. But thank you to everyone who likes what we do. Thank you to everyone who's shown love to the podcast and asking when the next episode is, because it gives us a little kick in the pants and reminder, like, get it done.
Yeah. And if you did enjoy our return to the podcast, make sure you do. If you, like I said, if you have a question, send it through to us. If you want to share the podcast and more people can come and listen if they
like,
that
would be amazing. Hashtag Expedition Enthused on any social media. Hashtag Expedition Enthused. And then you could tag either or both of us on Instagram in a story and then we'll share it too. And, you know, any way you want to like help us share it, get the word out, we appreciate it.
And if you also, like me, want to pretend it's February, I hope you have a great Valentine's Day.
Okay, so should we wrap up then? I think that was a good discussion. We kind of caught everybody up to where we are now in June. It's summer. Summer. Summer.
Halloween time.
Summerween. It's going to be an awesome summer in Florida. We have so many fun things planned. And then we, of course, always have trips and travels and cool stuff. So yeah, we're excited. So thanks for listening.
We will see you next time. And as always,
stay enthused.